Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee for bringing us to Sunday school. We praise Thee for the good weather, the sunshine, and Thy goodness to us. We pray, Lord, for today, Thy Holy Spirit will instruct us on the Ten Commandments, that our hearts will be open and we will be transformed by the renewing of the mind, to change in our behavior, to delight in Thee. Lord, we pray for our sins, that Thou will forgive us. How many a times we have seek Thy forgiveness and said we would repent, and yet we have again sinned against Thee. For we are weak, and Thou art our loving Heavenly Father, and Thou knowest that we are but flesh and blood, mortal, sinful. But Thou art always forgiving, and so we come to Thee seeking Thy forgiveness once more, knowing that Thou wilt surely forgive us because Thou lovest us. And we will strive, Lord, to do that which will please Thee, which will praise Thee and glorify Thee. So help us, Lord, to understand this lesson. More importantly, to do that which Thou wants us to do. We ask all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Today we are on to part 2 of the Ten Commandments. And I just want to bring this up again, that the Westminster Confession of Faith, the statement of faith that this church observes and agrees with, provides under the law of God in this statement of faith, that the moral law, the Ten Commandments, does forever bind all. Meaning the Ten Commandments applies to us today as spiritual laws that we must comply with. And it will always be binding going forward in the future. So we are on to the fifth commandment. The fifth to the tenth commandment is about commandments between people. And here, fifth commandment says, I'll read to you, Exodus 20:12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So in short, honor your father and mother. Yeah? And we have a corresponding reading in Ephesians 6, 2-3. So you notice Exodus 20:12 is what is in the Ten Commandments. And then in the New Testament, in Ephesians 6, 2-3, we have something similar. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Yeah? So, something is added there. It is the first commandment with promise. Something is promised to us if you honor your father and mother. Yeah? And so we can read it in verse 3, that it may be well with thee. If you honor your father and mother, you will be well. And you will live long on the earth. Honor means high respect. Yeah? The parents must be respected and obeyed while under the parents' direct authority in the home prior to a young person's marriage. So when I was young, as a boy, as a teenager, as a young adult before marriage, and lived with my parents, I honor my parents, I obey them. As long as it is consistent with God's teaching. Yeah? And I became a Christian when I was 14, still in school. My parents were Buddhist. And I recall my father being angry with me for accepting a faith that calls someone in heaven father. He was very angry. Because he said, I'm your father. How dare you call someone your father? He was angry with me. And he didn't think it was good of me to accept the Christian faith. But I was a young boy. I depended on my parents for support. And so I was quiet. Thank God I did not recant my faith, but I was a quiet believer. I did not want to incur the wrath of my father. And also many times, we have bad relations with our parents because they tend to nag. And naturally, my mother was quite a nagger, even to today at 94. She treats me, her son, and I will always be her son. She tells me, if you go out, make sure you bring the umbrella. Make sure you don't walk where there's sun and hot. Make sure you don't fall sick when you go under the rain. On for 66 years of my life. Right? So, tendency that you will feel irritated as I felt irritated. But I learned a lesson. She said all these because she loves me. She's concerned for me. She wants me to be well. And why shouldn't I obey her? It's genuinely out of my welfare and my interest that she says all these things. Why should I be irritated with her? So I learned to acknowledge her love for me. And in my heart, I thank her for nagging me. And parents, as they are always protective over their children, yeah, they want us not to mix with the wrong company or engage in criminal activities, drugs, vices. So naturally, if you obey your parents, typically we lead a healthier life, a longer lifespan. So, rationally speaking, the fifth commandment, obey your father and mother that you may have long life, is true, generally speaking, because they are there to protect us as their children. If you listen to them, listen to their advice, protecting us, we live better lives, we have a longer lifespan. Right? Commandment 6. You shall not murder. In Exodus 20:13, it is simply put as, thou shalt not kill. Matthew 5:21-22 is an extension of the sixth commandment of thou shalt not kill. Let's read. It came from our Lord Jesus Christ. Ye have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. So Christ was telling the people, you have heard in the Old Testament time, thou shalt not kill. He was quoting from Exodus 20:13, thou shalt not kill. And whoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. Will be in danger of being disciplined. There will be penalties for killing. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Christ have added a number of things to thou shalt not kill. He said, if you are angry without a cause, you are in danger of punishment. If you're angry. And if you say to your brother, Raka, Raka in Hebrew is a contentious condemnation of a person. Like, you fool, you idiot. Yeah. Raka. You will also be in danger. And you call the person, you fool, you'll be in danger as well. So what is all this about? Basically, Christ have extended, thou shalt not kill to the heart. You kill a person because you are angry and you hate him, you kill that person. So the killing starts from the heart when you are angry with hate. So Christ says, beware. If you are angry and hateful of a person, you have already killed someone in your heart. And you'll be in danger of being disciplined. So Christ has extended it to the attitude in the heart, not just the action alone, right? So we must not take the life of another person by murder. Of course, there are many ways of taking life lawfully. You know, we have a death sentence in Singapore. That's lawful taking of life. But be sure that the Sixth Commandment is talking about unlawful taking of life, like murder. Yeah, because man is made in God's image, it must be protected. In Christ extended in Matthew 5:21-22, anger towards someone is also wrong. Anger without cause, without good reason, is wrong. And we must restrain our anger and not allude to another person as a fool. Why? Because God looks at the act and the attitude in the heart. So don't be angry without a cause. Don't condemn another person. Don't hate another person. Because all these, Christ says, you'll be liable for judgment, for penalty. Yeah? And understandably, these things are the preliminary attitudes before one commits murder. So Christ is trying to nip it at the bud, right? Next, we go on. Do not commit adultery. Exodus 20:14. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's according to the seventh commandment. And again, Christ says in Matthew 5:27-28, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So we all know adultery means you sleep with a woman, not your wife, when you are already married. Yeah? The very act of adultery. But again, you look what Christ says. If you look at a woman to lust after her, you have already committed adultery in your heart. He brings the idea of adultery to the heart, to the attitude. That if you have the attitude of lusting after a woman, that's a sin. And you'll be disciplined. So that's where Christ is coming from. The marital vow is a holy commitment and not to be violated by sexual unfaithfulness under any circumstances. There are serious repercussions for adultery. For example, the story of King David. If you recall the story of King David, he committed adultery with Bathsheba. He slept with Bathsheba. Bathsheba was already the wife of his soldier. And the soldier was out fighting in enemy territory, protecting the kingdom of Israel. And King David saw Bathsheba and slept with her. And then, subsequently, Bathsheba conceived. And in order to silence the adultery affair, because if she gives birth, everything will come to light. That King David committed adultery with his soldier's wife. So he murdered the husband by sending the husband right in front of the battlefield to be killed by the enemy. Very smart, this King David. He didn't kill Uriah himself. Uriah is the husband. He sent Uriah to the front of the battle to be killed by the enemy. So Bathsheba became a widow, and then he married Bathsheba. Lawful. But God knew all this, and God punished King David for the sin of adultery and murder. His four sons died. So Christ extended adultery to lust. And we all know what lust is. It's one of the common sins of people. And it is heightened further by many hidden persuaders, uncensored movies on the internet, in-flight movies, liberal lifestyles, etc., etc. You read a novel, pages of it. People going to bed without out of wedlock, and hopping from one partner to another. It's commonplace, even in novels. But for us as believers, no mistress, no girlfriend, boyfriend if married, no inappropriate behavior before marriage, no cohabitation before marriage, no multiple partners, no pornography. In this day and age, those who practice this are looked upon as odd and peculiar people. The world no longer believes in these things. We are in a postmodern world. You do what you wish, you do what you like, to exalt ourselves, to have pleasure within ourselves. There's no God. We are gods. So if we enjoy many partners, no one is there to stop you. But we know adultery and many other pressures on the family causes breakup in families, unwanted pregnancies, and in many cases, delinquent children as well. Because once the parents are divorced, the children are less cared for, and they don't have father and mother in the same family to look after them, for them to look up as role models. And yes, there are many delinquent children with families that are split up. Next, I'd like to go on to the eighth commandment. You shall not steal. Exodus 20:15. Thou shalt not steal. And we have a corresponding reading in Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may give to him that needeth. So you notice in Ephesians, there is an extension of thou shalt not steal. Yeah. Let him that stole steal no more. It sort of repeats Exodus 20:15 in different words. Thou shalt not steal. But rather let him labor. So the act of stealing is no good. Yeah. It contravenes God's law. And God wants the hands to labor. That is good. Yeah? What is so bad about stealing? It's dishonesty. If you work with your hands and you labor, it's an honest day's work. And that pleases the Lord. So the Lord is basically saying, put aside dishonesty, put aside stealing. Do a day's honest work with your hands and help those who are in need when you have earned the money. So that is the idea behind thou shalt not steal. And we are all exalted to work with our hands and not steal. Today, we have many cases of scammers. If you look at the chart up there, let me see if I can enlarge this. Okay. 2023, the bottom line shows the year, right? Last year, 2023, there were $651.8 million lost due to scammers. Think about it. $650 million in 1 year lost due to scammers. That works out roughly to be $50 million a month lost due to scammers. A very big sum of money. More than $10 million a week, if you average it out, lost to scamming. So, point is, friends, let's be careful. Now, when you go on your mobile, don't just click and go into website and give away your ID and password to your bank details. People are coming into our bank account and stealing right from your bank account. Yeah? So be careful. Huh? But what about ourselves? Do we steal? Common items, office stationery items. Sometimes laptop and other IT equipment, accessories. Office stationery items, pen, eraser, sharpeners, they're really not valuable. And we tend to bring them home for our use at home. Yeah? And nobody thinks anything about it. Even our office admin people, they close an eye if you bring home pencils from the office to your home. But as peculiar people and believers, we are told to live by very strict codes of behavior. Yeah. Office items and stationeries are meant for office use. Yeah. It is not meant for our personal use at home. So as far as possible, we must not use office equipment at home. Even though other people are doing it. Yeah. Strictly speaking, the equipment in the office are meant for business use in the office and not for personal use at home. Yeah. Laptop and other IT equipment accessories. Many years ago, in one of my past companies, a senior management member resigned from office, and she took a company laptop with her home, knowing that it's company's property. She refused to return it to the company. So it was pretty embarrassing. Our company staff had to go to her house to ask for the laptop. She finally gave in. So these are things that we have to be careful about being believers. Many a times you read in the papers and they say, so-and-so did this and that, something dishonest, and he's a member of this church. Of course, the newspaper like to sensationalize how Christians misbehave and are caught in deceit and trickery, and they will publish it in the newspaper. And so embarrassing for Christians. So please refrain from doing all this. Thou shalt not steal. Do not keep things that belong to your employer or someone else. And also, finders keepers. Is that how, as Christians, we should behave as well? If you found something, you keep it. Is that the rule? It is not the rule. Do not keep things that are not yours. If you find it, return it to the organization or return it to someone who is in authority. Of course, sometimes there are no place to return certain things. And you just hold on to it. But short of circumstances where you know it is valuable, it is not yours, do not keep it. If it's valuable, pass it on to the police authorities in control. Steal ideas and hard work from others by claiming them as your own. Some of this happens in academic circle. You see a lot of research papers being published. And many of the research papers, they steal ideas from other researchers, other publications. And again, as believers, as Christians, we must not be found in such compromising situation as to be accused of stealing other people's ideas in your own publication. And if you really quote from other people, make it a point to acknowledge the source of what you're quoting in your paper, and that will be all right. This is not your finding. This is a finding from so-and-so in another magazine. And I'm just quoting that person's finding in my paper. And that will be honest, yeah, of us. Ninth commandment, you shall not give false witness. Exodus 20:16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. What this means is, you mustn't give false testimony against your neighbor, against other people. That's the meaning. You mustn't give false testimony against other people. Like in a court of law, you are giving evidence, and then you accuse someone of wrongdoing, falsely. That is what it means here. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. In Colossians 3:9, it's extended to lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Do not tell lies one to another. That's Colossians. So it has extended to do not bear false witness against thy neighbor. So you notice New Testament is even stricter than Exodus. It has extended the boundary of the Ten Commandments even further. And that goes to the heart. It's no more the action of killing, the action of sleeping with another person. It's more than that now. It goes to the very heart. Why did you kill? You have hatred in your heart. Hatred is wrong. Why did you sleep with another person? You have lust in your heart. Lust is wrong. The boundaries have moved to attitude in the heart. And telling lies come in many ways in the internet age. Yeah? Seven deadly scams. Fake shopping websites. You have a shopping website in your internet and you are going to buy things. Lazada, Shopee. I'm not saying they're false. I'm saying that it can be copied by other people. And then you go to a fake Lazada shop and you buy this and that and put in your credit card number. And they will have your credit card number, those scammers. And they will go into your credit card and get things out of you. Fake shopping websites. That's what's happening. Many times in this day and age. Yeah? Catfishing. Oh, I receive many pretty ladies who want to befriend me on WhatsApp, WeChat. Yeah? Hardly know who they are. Yeah? Catfishing. And I was told by my friend, are you sure this pretty lady is not a man? Because they will adopt these scammers who are men, they will use the photographs of pretty ladies and send it to you and say, that's me, you know, I want to be your friend. Yeah. Lottery scams in Nigerian prints. The Nigerian fake emails were around since many years ago, I remember. It all started when we received emails from Nigeria claiming that they have inherited millions and millions of dollars. And they want us to help them to get the money out. And to help them to get the money out, we have to pay a small deposit. Yeah. So, and it's a very long letter to you asking for help because they have inherited tens of millions of dollars. And you can just have 1% of it. Or negotiable. So, a lot of such emails, they promise very good returns. Just too good. When it's just too good, be careful. And then there's job offer scam, fake news, and so on and so forth. So be careful when you go to websites. I usually don't download them. I mean, I'll read them, but if they ask me to click the URL to go to another site, I will hesitate. Yeah. Because once you click something else, the malware will get into our phone, our laptops, and whatnot. And it won't be a good experience if you find that your bank account is shortened. It's a shortfall by a large sum of money. So, we read about internet lies. What about ourselves? Yeah? Do you remember? A white lie, a lie that is trivial and of no harm to anyone is still a lie. And we should refrain from telling a lie. So I was going through my mind, even myself. What if I'm invited to a friend's house for dinner, and my friend asks me, how do I like the food? And if the food is not good, what should I say? Yeah? I can't very well say it is not good. I'll hurt my friend's feeling, right? Neither can I say it is perfect, it's lovely. That's a lie. Although it's not going to hurt my friend because he's going to be very happy. Yeah? No one is hurt by a white lie. But then, we are peculiar people. We must tell the truth. So what do we say? Food has a unique taste. Distinct. Yeah? You don't hurt your friend's feelings. Neither are you saying that you like or you don't like. And you don't tell a lie. But of course, this is with the benefit of hindsight, we are able to come up with such answers. But then, if you ask a certain question, sometimes it's really difficult to answer. Yeah? Patient who is very ill, terminal case, ask you, what is my chance of surviving? What are you going to say? Oh, the doctor says you only have 6 months. Be very delicate when you speak to patients. It's not just physical illness. The mind is very susceptible. Oh, don't worry. The doctor will take care of you. That's nice. If you say, you are not lying. Doctors will take care of the patient. But you are not answering the question that he has only 6 months. So don't cheat, don't misrepresent. Be as accurate as you can. If you are giving an answer to the question. Naturally, there is also room for discretion. Discretion means sometimes you don't have to answer the question. You don't have to answer the question. People ask you a question, the answer would offend that person. You don't have to answer it. You say something else. Be gracious in your answer. Because you know that if you tell the person the truth, the person may be offended, offensive to him. But don't lie as well. Say something gracious to the person. Right? Next, 10th commandment, you shall not covet. Exodus 20:17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So this is when you look at your friend's property and you say, wow, such luxury. I want it too. I want that. That is coveting your neighbor's properties. So if you yearn to possess a big house, a car, etc., belonging to another person, that's coveting your neighbor's property. You are envious that your neighbor have such a big house, such a big car, such a wonderful family. And again, television, social media would heighten all this. It would show pretty big properties. And you say, look, that is so big and so luxurious compared to my little apartment. I want it too. It's always comparison. You compare. We compare. And when we compare, the grass on the other side is always greener. And you want that. Because compared to what you have, it is much better. So that's covetousness. Okay, I'd like to show you this video. It's a video on the big houses, luxurious houses in Singapore.
Hey guys, Ruben Danovich here. Today we are in the southernmost point of Singapore. We're in Sentosa. Now when you think of Sentosa, what do you think of? Sandy beaches, turquoise waters, blue skies, and of course, beautiful landed homes. Now in the past, we've toured a number of landed houses, but mostly of the heritage shophouse variety. We've toured shophouses in Everton Road, we've toured shophouses in Emerald Hill, but this is the first time we're actually touring a detached landed home by the water's edge. This home right here has to be the largest home we've ever toured to date. Now just before we begin, we'd like to thank you guys for all the support on this channel thus far, as well as the listing agent Christina and the homeowners for allowing us to tour this beautiful home. If you guys are ready, let's get the show on the road. We've launched the Stack Store. You can now choose from a curated selection of over 25 local and overseas brands. Visit stackedhomes.com/store now and refresh your home. Alright, so as we make our way to the front of the house, allow me to share a little bit more about the specs of this house with you guys. Now we've got 5 bedrooms, 5 baths, and this is set atop a land size of 7,894 square feet. So we've got 3 stories that features a waterfront view, a pool, a private dock of your own, and even an entire rooftop deck which can be customized to the owner's needs. Now the asking price starts from $24 million, and with that, let's begin at the entrance. Now, out of these main doors, you actually head out to the front porch where you can fit between 3 to 4 cars as well as a buggy. Now, this home is massive. In fact, you've got not just one, but 2 living areas. Behind me, we've got the staircase. We've also got a ground floor bedroom, which we'll check out in just a bit. So we've got exquisite marble flooring that spreads through the entire first floor. We've got a 3.1 meter ceiling as well, which also accentuates the space right here. Now, we're in the first living area. We've got 6-seater L-shaped sofas on either end, punctuated by these beautiful side tables. We've also got a nice coffee table as the centerpiece right here. Now, this is really more of a hosting area. Right next to us is actually a bar counter, so it makes it very easy for homeowners to serve their guests. Now, that's all very beautiful, but one thing I want to bring your attention to is the view right here. So you've got a pool that wraps around this side of the house, and it culminates in an infinity edge, which essentially gives the homeowners a nice view of the waterfront.
All right, there you go. Why can't I own a property like that? Why is my apartment the size of the garden only? The size of my apartment is smaller than the garden of one of these property. Where is the fairness? Why, after working for so many years, I still live in such a small apartment, whereas other people live in properties, palatial grounds, waterfront, yachts, many stories, plush finishing. Where's the fairness? That's covetous. Yeah? What I said just now is how a covetous person will react. There's nothing wrong buying a Sentosa Cove property. Absolutely nothing wrong. God bless you with money, and you like the property, go right ahead. But the moment you compare and says, look, that person's got such a big property, I've got such a small property, where's the fairness? And you, there's hatred in you, there's anger in you, there's contempt in you for other people. That is where the sin is. Right? So Romans 13:9, let me just read to you Romans 13:9. Romans 13:9 is a summary of all the thou shalt not in towards other people and summarized under thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself as being the overarching commandment. Yeah? I read to you, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What it means is that all these commandments of not committing adultery, not killing, not stealing, and so on and so forth, can all be summarized under one commandment. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Because if you love your neighbor, you will not steal from him, you will not kill him, you will not covet his property, you will not commit adultery against his wife, and so on and so forth. Because all you need to do is genuinely love your neighbor. Right? So this is what Christ says. Let me read to you. Christ says, Matthew 22, 36 to 40. This person asked him, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Of these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Christ actually encapsulates all the commandments under two great commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and mind. Because if you do that, you will not worship any other gods, you will have no idols, you will not take the Lord's name in vain, you will keep holy the Sabbath. Right? If you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind, you will not break any of the first four commandments. If you love your neighbor as thyself, you will not break any of the other six commandments. So there are really two great commandments. First is love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Second is love your neighbor as yourself. Your neighbor is anyone around us. They are your neighbors. Your friends, your colleagues, bosses, people who live near you, they are your neighbors. Love them as yourself. And you will not lie to them, you will not kill them, you will not covet their things, so on and so forth. So let us go to God in a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for Thy goodness to us, teaching us Thy precepts, laws, and commands, for they are for our good. We pray, Lord, that not just knowing them, but also put them in practice in our lives. And that we will be scrupulous about our actions, behavior, to do that which Thou delight in. We pray, Lord, for Thy forgiveness always, for Thou knowest that we are but mortal people, prone to sin. But help us, Lord, to strive to perfection, to be holy as Thou art holy. So we ask, Lord, that Thou will forgive us and grant us Thy grace and mercy always. We praise Thee and thank Thee in Christ's precious name. Amen. Stop here.